All right, Trebosai, good morning. Let us begin. A thank you to our sponsors, to our Talmud Torah sponsors, for the month of Adar, the Lerner family, in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, Zichrona Livracha, and on the merit of an aliyah for her neshama. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, family will have a neshama, and the neshama will have an aliyah. A thank you to our Daf Yomi sponsor for today, to Alan Wiseman, for dedicating in memory of his father-in-law, Charles Newman, Zecharia Ben Yisrael Tzvi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. With that, let us begin a beautiful and incredible and overwhelming daf today. A thank you to Rabbi Richter, Rabbi Huda Neuberger, who gave the shiur when I was gone. With that, we begin. Today's daf is Nun Hey 55. We pick up three lines up from the bottom. Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Incredible Gemara. From Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda said, Shloshet Dvarim, Hamarich Ma'arichin Yamavushnosov Shal Adam. There are three things which extend, literally, again, the days and the years of a person. Hamarich b'tzilah. So both say, so first of all, whenever you see this lashon of ma'arich yomim ushnosav, right, think about it, it's a bit of a redundant lashon. You could just say ma'arich shnosav, right? Again, what will prolong days and years? If you're prolonging years, you're obviously prolonging days. So also, whenever you see an expression like this in the Gemara, it's not just talking about longevity, it's talking about quality of life. If a person wants an increase in their quality of life, ma'arichin yamav ushnosav shal adam, what are the things that increase quality of life? Number one, ha'marich b'tfilaso, one who davens for a long time. We'll see what that means. Marach b'tzilaso, marach ha'shulchano, someone who has long meals, spends a long time at a stable. Va'marach v'esakise, and one who spends a long time in the bathroom. Good. Let's analyze. Hamarach b'tzilaso, you say, is that true? That one who goes ahead and spends a long time davening, that's a good thing? Va'ha'am rabbi chi bar'av, ha'am rabbi yochra, this incredible gemara, top of nun hey. Kala marach b'tzilaso ma'ayin ba, whoever spends a long time davening, u'ma'ayin ba, now we'll say ma'ayin ba literally means he looks into it. Rashi says, ma'ayin ba, Omer belibo sheteasa bakashaso lefishe hispala bakavana. Person who spends a long time davening and then waits for the fulfillment of his prayer. Ma'ayin ba means he literally studies it, waiting for the fulfillment of his prayer, saying to himself, I davened with so much kavana, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go ahead and grant this tefillah. Bali de ke'ev leif. Such a person will come to heartache. Such a person will come to a broken heart. Rabbi said, this is such a profound Gemara. Why? Why the Gemara says? Because a lot of times, the things that we daven for don't come true the way we asked for. Not because the Kaddish Baruch Hu is not listening, not because the Kaddish Baruch Hu is not heeding, not because the Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't care or love for us, but ultimately, yeah, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu has a much greater plan than ultimately, again, we have. So therefore, a person who goes ahead and davens, marech b'tfilaso, a person who goes ahead and davens, and goes ahead and waits for the fulfillment of his prayer, such an individual, again, will come to heartache. So the Gemara says, Shneemar, tocheles memoshcha machle leiv. Because as the Pasuk says, ultimately, again, quoting over here the Pasuk from Mishlei, tocheles memoshcha means a prolonged prayer will bring heartache. So it's an incredible, incredible Gemara. V'Rav Yitzchak, shlosha dvarim maskirim avonoso shel adam. Furthermore, again, Rav Yitzchak says, there are three things that often highlight the culpability of a person. So first of all, this idea of being ma'ayin ba, this idea of going ahead and waiting for the fulfillment of prayer, the Gemara says only leads to one thing, which is heartache. Prayer is a complex thing, and one thing gives us the opportunity to have this profound dialogical connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also recognizing that there's a whole universe out there that goes beyond my prayer. So therefore, a person who waits for his prayer to be fulfilled, the Gemara says, is going to have kev lev. There are three things which cause a person's averus to be remembered. Ve'eluhin. These are they. Kir natui, a leaning wall. So we'll say, so the idea over here is that if a person puts himself in sakana, person puts himself in danger, so he walks by a leaning wall, it makes it easier for the Beis Din Shalmala to extract punishment for his misdeeds. So you walk by a leaning wall, you put yourself in a makom sakana. Ultimately, again, it reminds the Beis Din Shalmala of your misdeeds. The iun tfila. Iyun tefillah means, again, same idea. One who goes ahead and waits for the fulfillment of his prayer. And we'll say, understand also, that represents a certain level of gaib, of arrogance. Because a person sits waiting for the fulfillment of their prayer, it's kibiyachal, as if they're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I deserve my prayer to be answered. Umoser din al chaver l'shamayim. And one who goes ahead and complains about his friend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person davens and he says, Ribono Shalom, you know, Reuven is acting so inappropriately. He's really not a good guy. You really should visit punishment upon him. So the Beis Shalom says, really? You're testifying against another person? You're going in and bringing a din against another person? Oh, before you bring a din against another person, let's go ahead and check your file as well. So the Gemara says, so remember again, for our purpose, what are we focusing on over here? The Gemara says, one of the things that increases your quality of life, Ma'arichin lo yamo v'shnosav, is a ma'arich b'tfila, one who prolongs prayer. Now we see prolonging of prayer is not a good thing. To which the Gemara says, "Kashu hadam ayin ba hadlo ma'ayin ba." The Gemara says, "No. Two different cases. Prolonged prayer is good, right? What's the problem? The problem is when a person prolongs it because he's waiting for the prayer to be fulfilled. So to prolong prayer, to daven for a long time, to daven with kavana, that's wonderful. But to daven for a long time because you're waiting for the fulfillment of your prayer, that's the part that's problematic. I ve'echi ovid. So if that's the case again, how are you supposed to prolong prayer if you're not supposed to spend time waiting for it to come to fruition? The mafish berachami. Ultimately, again, a person has a lot of supplications. So a person, again, a lot of rachami, a person has a lot of supplications, a lot of shevach. So the idea is daven for a long time, daven with kavana. That's ma'arichin yayim mushnosav, but do not wait around. Don't expect the fulfillment of your prayer. But say, again, I want to be very careful over here. Obviously, when we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we dive into the Ribono Shel Olam with an expectation that our tefillos are going to be answered and heard and answered the way we want. Of course, that's all of us daven that way. But Lamais, what the Gemara is saying is davening has to be done with a certain level of humility. I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a particular thing. I'm hoping that he will fulfill my request, but I also know that maybe what I'm asking for is not the right thing. Maybe what I want is not correct. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not maybe, perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a different cheshbon, and I accept that. So I'm a human being, so this is what I want, this is what I'm asking for. But I accept if you don't give me what I want, because I recognize that there's a much greater universe behind me. So the Gemara says, beyond me, I should say. The Gemara says, V'amarech al shulchano. I said, why is it that a person should spend a lot of time at their meal? This is beautiful. Dilma asi anya v'yavle. We'll say, because this way again, perhaps a poor person will come. See, if you eat quickly, then what happens? There's less of a chance that someone who's hungry is going to show up at your table. But if you prolong your su'uda, someone who is hungry, a poor person, may show up at your home. And ultimately, again, you may be able to be mehane. You may be able to benefit him by sharing your meal with him. Dichsiv hamizbeach eitz shalosh amos gavoa uksiv vaydabra elai zeh shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. So the Gemara picks up something very interesting. Pasach b'mizbeach v'siyim b'shulchan. The pasach begins by speaking about the mizbeach, the altar, and ends off by speaking about the shulchan, the table in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, so what's the connection? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Karbayu, Kolzman, Shebeis HaMikdash, Kayim, Mizbeach, Mechabra, Al Yisrael. This is so beautiful. Whenever the Beis HaMikdash is standing, so the Mizbeach, the altar goes ahead and effects atonement for Klal Yisrael. V'achshov, but in the absence of the Mizbeach, Shulchano Shel Adam Mechaper. This is so beautiful. Rabbi says, in the absence of the Mizbeach, your Shulchan, your table atones for you, just like the Mizbeach. The idea being what Rabbi says, so just like, it's such an incredible idea. Because if you think about it, the Mizbeach was the great unifier of Am Yisrael. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, you could only bring your karbanos on the Mizbeach, was the great unifier. In the absence of a Mizbeach unifier, what's the great unifier? Your table. You get people around your table, all different kinds of people, and that su'udah, that table unifies everyone. So when the Mizbeach stood, that affected atonement. In the absence of the Mizbeach, a person's shulchan affects atonement. So that's number one. So number one, daven for a long time. Number two, eat for a long time. And number three, spend a long time in the bathroom. To which the Gemara says, Mal Yusi, is that really good? V'hatanya, but we learned, Asar Dvar Mevin, Asar Adlun De Tachtonios. There are 10 things that bring about, we'll say Tachtonios are literally hemorrhoids. Right, literally hemorrhoids, but it could just mean some type of affliction or discomfort in that part of the body. So there are 10 things that bring about hemorrhoids. Ha'ochel alekanim, one who goes ahead and eats leaves from a reed. Alei gifanim, leaves from a vine. Lulei gifanim, shoots from a vine. Morigi behema, Rashi says over here, this is any ridged part of the animal flesh. Vishidro shel dog, the spine of a fish. Vidag maliach shein mavusha kol tzarcho, or a roasted fish that's not fully cooked. Vashos eshtam yain, one who drinks wine dregs. Vakaniach besid, one who wipes himself after defecating with lime. Ubicharosis, or with a pottery shard, or a person who goes ahead and wipes himself with a stone that his friend used. V'yesh omrim. Good. There's no need to talk about this. Let's go forward. V'yesh omrim. Afatol asabesakise. Yosim der arabose, or one who goes ahead and literally abose. Now the lashon over here is very important. Tola asabes. So good to be back with all of you. See the maturity level. The maturity level did not increase in my absence. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, "Vatola ansa beisakisi yosemidai." Or Rabbi say, for that matter, what one who goes in. Now the lashon over here is very important. Tola atzmo literally means one who squats in the bathroom. So we'll say, remember again, if they're talking about defecating, let's say, well, remember going back to what we said before, like a non-besakise kavua, that requires squatting. So the Gemara says, watch this. So the Gemara says, So apparently, what's problematic is the squatting. That a person who goes out and squats for a long time while defecating, that brings about what the Gemara called hemorrhoids or some other type of ailment. But if a person spends a long time in the bathroom but doesn't have to exert themselves by squatting, then that ultimately, again, is beneficial. Because there was a certain conversation between Matronisa as a Roman noblewoman and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. Listen to this. She said to him, "Panecha domim l'magadli chazir malavei beribis. Your face looks like someone who raises pigs and lends with interest." So also what that means is these apparently, again, were very lucrative professions. So she was saying to Rabbi Eloi, you have the appearance of a very well-pampered person. So it must be that either, again, you're raising pigs or you're lending with interest. Amar Lai, so he said to him, "Menusa, I swear to you, Ludidi Tarvayo Asirin. It can't be because both of these things are Asir for me. So you want to know why I have such a nice appearance? Ela Asrin Va'arboim Besakise Ishka Miushpazoila Be Midrasha." It's incredible. There are 24 bathrooms in between my house and the Beis Medrash. Dichi Azuma Batkina Nafshai Bakulu. As I go to the Beis Medrash, I stop at each one and make sure to go ahead and see if I need to relieve myself. So we'll say, so the Marsha points out, that's a bit of hyperbole. It doesn't mean that he stops at every single bathroom. But you see this in Chazal, that apparently what they felt was a major piece of one's health was making sure that one is relieving themselves, specifically defecating at regular intervals to remove waste from the body. This was felt to be a cornerstone of health. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi says, "My good complexion, right? The secret of my good complexion is that I use the bathroom regularly." Rabbi Yehuda says there are three things that go ahead and shorten yamav ushnosa. So we'll say same idea. You see this same lashon yamav ushnosa, days and years, which is Chazal's way of telling us not only is this a reference to longevity but also quality of life. What are the three things that take away from your longevity and quality of life? Misha knows no Sefer Torah, the cross of Enakore. A person who they give a Sefer Torah to learn or to read from, and he doesn't read from it. We'll see what this means in just a moment. Someone who's asked by the Balabas to bench, right, to lead benching, and doesn't lead benching. And one, we're going to see what this means, is one who abuses leadership. And abuse is too strong of a word, but one who uses his position to potentially lord over others. So the Gemara says, Sefer Torah likros veino korei. What's the case of a person who receives a Sefer Torah, doesn't read it? Tichsiv ki hu chayecha va'orech yamecha. As well as in the Torah is longevity. What's the understanding, the beautiful message in this? Someone who receives a Sefer Torah and doesn't read is speaking about someone who has an opportunity to learn and doesn't do so. If Torah is handed to you, and you don't take advantage to learn it, the Gemara says, "Ay vavoy, your quality of life is so dramatically diminished." And I also think about this. This is the age. This is the dar. This is the generation we live in. Torah is literally handed to us. It is literally handed to us, and it's handed. send it to us in any language we want, in any medium we want, in any way that we want, mamish on a silver platter. So the Gemara says, Torah's handed to you, right? They hand you a sefer Torah, you don't take it, such a person suffers a diminution to his quality of life. Kosha bracha levarach. Similarly, if you're asked to bench, you should bench. Veino mevarach tachsiv, va'avarcha mevarachecha. Va'amanigatzo v'rabanos. Because it says, and you who bless will be blessed. This is incredible. What about one who uses his authority to lord over others? This is an incredible Gemara. Why did Yosef die before his brothers? Ultimately, again, because literally, again, he conducted himself with Rabbanos Tavos. And what this means over here by Yosef is, the Gemara elsewhere discusses this as well, that Yosef is held accountable for the repeated bowing downs that his brother did to him before he revealed his identity. So because he used his power ultimately again to lord over his brothers, there's a degree of liability and culpability in this for Yosef. And therefore, again, even though again Yosef has his whole plan, but Lemaisa, and we'll see about Yosef, we're actually going to learn about Yosef's plan in just a little bit, but because apparently again he conducted himself in an authoritative way that led to a lessening of his life. And a dramatic Gemara. There are three things which you could only get with divine compassion. And what are they? Melech Tov, a good king. Shana Tov, a good year. Chalom Tov, a good dream. Melech Tov, we'll say, so in other words, there are three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself controls. Melech Tov, a good king, Dechsev, Palgi Mayim Lev Melech Biyad Hashem. Like streams of water is the heart of the king in the hand of God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the heart of the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of kings. Shana Tova, a good year. Dechsev, Tamid Einei Hashem Elokech Abba, Mereshis Hashana Va'ad Achris Hashana. So what they see is you over here, even though this is talking about Eretz Yisrael, that's the subject of the pasuk. But Lamaise again, we're focusing over here. Mereshis Hashana Achris Hashana. Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, right, are on literally on the land, but on the year from the beginning till the end. So Hashana Tov, a good year. So down for Rosh Hashanah is dependent on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chalam Tov. What about a good dream? Dechsev Vatachlimeni Utzechayeni. Because the pasuk says, the Bible says in Yeshaya that literally again, you gave me a dream and you sustained me. So kings, years, and dreams, all in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shosha Devar Machlez Lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biatzmo. We'll say there are three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu announces about himself. Ve'eluhein, these are they, Ra'av, famine, sova, plenty, uparnes tov, and a good leader. Ra'av dichsiv kikar Hashem l'rav, sova dichsiv ekarasi el adagam verbesi oso, Parnes Tov Dichsiv Vayomar Shema Moshe Lemar Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Bitzalo. So I will say, so again, the Gemara quoting Pesukim over that indicate that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself through his word who triggers famine, who triggers plenty, and who ultimately, again, who appoints good leaders. So interestingly enough, the example the Gemara brings, and this is in Yanei Dioma, as we're starting Parshas Truma this week, the Parshas of the Mishkan, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints Bitzalo. Re'ei Karasi B'Shem Bitzalo. So I will say, such a beautiful Gemara. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, you could only appoint a leader upon the Jewish people, on the Tzibor, if the Tzibor wants the person. Rabbi said, this is actually, interestingly enough, true with a monarch as well. Even though a monarch is a monarch, nevertheless, again, there has to be some basic level of consent from the people. The people's consent is often represented by the consent of the Sanhedrin. But Lamaisa, again, you don't appoint a leader upon the Tzibor unless, of course, the Tzibor agrees. Where do we know this? This is so beautiful. Shneimar Ru'u Kara B'Shem Bitzalel. Amr la Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Moshe Hagun Alecha Bitzalel. So let's listen to this exchange. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe. Moshe, I want to appoint Bezalel to go ahead and build the Mishkan. Is that okay with you? Right? Hagun alecha Bezalel. You good with Bezalel? Amar le'ibon ha'sholam. Im lefanecha hagun lefanecha kol shekein. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if it's good with you, it's certainly good with me. I say, first of all, what a way to live life. Right? Well, imagine applying this idea to all of life. Kadosh Baruch Hu, if it's good with you, it's good with me. And obviously, what is happening to me in my life is good with you. So if it's good with you, then it's got to be good with me as well. Amar lo afapi kein leich emor lahem. Now the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell the Jewish people about the appointment of Bezalel. Va'amar lahem liYisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael and he says, Hagun aleichem Bezalel. He says, Klal Yisrael, are you good If Bezalel builds the Mishkan, Amrlo im lifnecha the Shbaruchu v'lifanecha uhagon lifanecha lifanino l'kol shekin. So Klal Yisrael says the Shbaruchu. Excuse me, Moshe Rabbeinu. If it's good with God and it's good with you, it's certainly good with us. Amrav Shulban Achmani Amrav Yonasan. Bezalel Hashem Chachmaso Nikra. Bezalel's name, I will say, was descriptive of his wisdom. Now again, his name was Bezalel. That was his name. What the Gemara is just pointing out over here is that his name ultimately, again, reflected his incredible wisdom. How so? This is so beautiful. First wide line, Nun Hamad Aleph. Amar lo lebetzalel, asali mishkan va'aron. The Kalim. So ultimately, again, so what happens? I skipped a line. Shemishash amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Lech amar lo lebetzalel. Asali mishkan va'aron v'kelim. So Svein HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Bezalel to make for me a mishkan, an ark, and the utensils. Halach Moshe v'hafach. Moshe Rabbeinu came along and he reversed the order. Now it does not appear that he did this intentionally. He reversed the order. Va'amar lo asi aron v'kelim u'mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu conveys to Bezalel, he says, Bezalel, make for me an aron, an ark, kelim, utensils, and a mishkan. So Bezalel says to Moshe, you know, the normal custom of the world is a person first builds a home, and then after you build a home, then you purchase or create the utensils to put inside the home. So Bezalel says, Moshe, but you're telling me to build the Aron, the Kalim, and the Mishkan. So Moshe, your order doesn't make so much sense. It makes much more sense to say Mishkan, Aron, Kalim. You told me Kalim, Mishkan, Aron. So the Gemara says, Shoshema, kach amr locha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to tell you. Asay Mishkan, Aron, v'kelim. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu really told you to make a Mishkan, an Aron, v'kelim. Or as Moshe, perhaps you got the order mixed up a little bit, and God really told you to make a Mishkan, Aron, v'kelim. Amr lo, Shema, Betzel, Kel, Hayisa, v'yadata. It must have been that what? You were standing in the shadow of God. And you heard my conversation with the Ribono Shel Olam. So Bezalel is a contraction between of these two words, Bezel, Kel. In the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you heard what God's true. And the Nebo said, it happens to be, we don't have time for it now, but it happens to be that there is a dramatic, hashkafic difference between that order of construction. As to whether or not you first make the Mishkan, then the Aron, then the Kelim, or the Aron, the Kelim, and the Mishkan. The truth is, the Sarim bring down that Moshe Avinu's switching of this was not happenstance, that it was reflective of Moshe Avinu's approach to life, but Amiratim we'll have to do it at a different time. Aron of Yehudah Marav, Yodea Haya Bezalel Tzarif Osio Shnivra Bayan Shayim Ba'aris. Bezalel knew how to go ahead and arrange the different letters which were used for creation, and use them ultimately again to fashion the Mishkan and the Kelim. Ksiv Hacha says over here, Vayimali Osir Ruach Elokim B'chachma B'suna B'das. Uksiv Hasam, Hashem B'chachma Yosad Aretz Konin Shayim B'suna. Uksiv Bedaito Tohomos Nivku. Suppose I see over here the same words that Torah uses for Bezalel's construction of the Mishkan in terms of wisdom and understanding are the very same words used in creation. So in other words, Bezalel knew the secrets of creation and he used them ultimately again to fashion the Mishkan. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosin, was an incredible Gemara. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosin chachma, el mishi yesh po chachma. We'll say incredible statement. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives wisdom to those who possess wisdom. Shene'emar, yoiv chachmasa lechachimin. U'minoda liyadei bina. Literally, again, he gives wisdom, ultimately, again, to the wise. I will say, what's the pshat? So first of all, shamarav tachlifa barmarava. Barmarli kamid rabi avo. Amarli ata atzun mehasa masnitu. You learn this from there. Anan mehacha masnitu. Here's what we learn it from. Dichsev ubelev kol chacham lev nasati chachma. In the heart of anyone who is wise, I have given wisdom. So I will say, at first glance, this sounds totally counterintuitive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives wisdom to the wise. So what does that mean? How do you acquire wisdom initially? So the Marashah points out, it's a very simple pshat. Which is what? That in order to receive wisdom from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to do your hishtatlos. You have to put in your effort. God gives blessing to those who go ahead and try to make themselves. In other words, if a person just sits back and waits for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, waits for God to do all of the heavy lifting, that doesn't happen. But if I put in my effort, if I do my part, if I put in my hishtatlos, if I acquire chachma for myself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me additional chacham as well. This is the model of synergistic partnership between man and God. Man does his part, man puts in his effort, man puts in his ishtadlus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you do your part, I will go ahead and help you along your journey. You do what is within your power to acquire some level of wisdom, and I will help convey to you the rest. An incredible model. Someone goes right. We'll say, here we go. We're going to now enter into the sugya of dreams. An incredible and overwhelming and beautiful and magnificent and meaningful sugya. This is going to continue for the next Amud, and we're going to see it's kind of going to be sprinkled over the next 2 days as well. Sermon of Chista. So we'll say any dream is fine as long as what? As long as it's not a dream about fasting. So Rashi says over here, all dreams are fine. So apparently a dream about fasting is not a good omen, is not a good sign. I guess fasting representing, again, abstaining from any type of physical pleasure. So that's not a good simen for a person. An uninterpreted dream is like an unread letter. We'll say, meaning what? Just like an unread letter, the contents do not impact you. Rashi says, lo tov lo ra. So if you look at Rashi, just like an unread letter, the contents of the letter do not impact you. So to an uninterpreted dream has no impact. Rashi says, ki garta lo makarya, lo tov lo ra, it's not good but not bad. Shekala chalomos holchin achara pitaron. So we'll say, we're going to see that there are a couple of major schools of thought when it comes to dreams. So there's a school of thought, which Rashi is alluding to over here, that the meaning of a dream is fundamentally rooted in its interpretation. However the dream is interpreted, that's the meaning of the dream. We'll have a second thought that says that dreams can be independent of any particular interpretation, and a third school of thought that says dreams are absolutely meaningless. So we'll see all of this unfold in the Gemara. But this opinion of Rav Chista saying that an uninterpreted dream is like an unread letter, just like the unread letter, the contents do not impact me, a dream that remains uninterpreted has no impact as well. So we'll say, any dream is never fully fulfilled. Any good dream is never fully fulfilled, and any bad dream is never fully fulfilled. So we're going to see that what this means ultimately is that every dream has in it, even if you hold that dreams have meaning, every dream has in it meaningful parts, but also has meaningless information sprinkled in as well. Incredible. Rav Chista says, a bad dream is better than a good dream. Why are we saying? Because a bad dream motivates a person to improve their ways. Right? A bad dream ultimately, again, is an incredible catalyst for tshuva and for change. Rav Chista, chama bisha atzivusi mistaye, chama tava chedve mistaye. So Rav Chista says that sometimes the reward of a good dream is the happiness you feel afterwards, and the fallout of a bad dream is the sadness you feel afterwards. Amar Rav Yosef, chama tava afilu ledidi bedichusei mafkasei lei. But this is actually a very profound Gemara. Rav Yosef, Rashi points out over here, was blind. Rav Yosef was blind, and the Gemara is filled with different things about the difficulties that Rav Yosef felt in life, experienced in life. Rav Yosef, you know, when I have a good dream and it puts a smile on my face, that's enough of a reward. So Rav Yosef felt that because his life was so difficult, those moments in life where he just had a little bit of simcha, even just from a good dream, that was enough reward. Because it's such a profound Gemara. And also, again, even if Emir Hashem, hopefully we don't have such difficult lives like Rav Yosef, but the idea being to rejoice in the little things, the little moments of happiness, that even if a person has a good dream that puts a smile on their face, to feel the simcha in that moment as well. Quite amazing. Rav Chista, chama bisha kasha minagda. A bad dream is even worse than Malchus. Shene emar ve'elokim asa shir milafonov. Voron barachana am Rabbi Yochanan zechalom ra. Hanavi asher ito b'chalom. Anavi asher ito cholom yisaper cholom vasher divrei ito yidaber divrei emes malateven asavarnu om Hashem. So we'll say, see here, the pasuk that the Gemara just quoted over here makes reference ultimately again to dreams as well as to grain and chaff. V'chi ma'inyan bar v'teven etzo cholom. We'll say, what's the connection ultimately again between dreams, wheat and chaff? This is an incredible Gemara. Elam Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah B'Shem Yochai Keshem Shi Efshal LeBar Belo Teven. Just like there's no grain without some chaff, Kach Yefshal LeChalam Belo Dvarim B'Teilim. Every dream has nonsensical pieces associated with it. In other words, we'll say, remember, this is part of the school of thought that says dreams are meaningful. Dreams are meaningful. Even if you hold dreams are meaningful, there's always some chaff in a dream, right? There's always some parts of the dream that are simply irrelevant and unmeaningful. Amar Rabbi Rachya, Cholam Af Apisha Miktasa Miskayim, Kula Inam Miskayim. A dream, even if part of it comes true, there's no such thing as a dream that totally comes true. Meet Minalan, from where do we know this? I will say that even if you hold that dreams come true, ultimately, again, there's no dream that comes totally true. So, Yosef, Tichsiv, Vihine Hashemesh Vayarech. Remember again, in Yosef's dream, what does he dream about? He dreams about the fact that he's surrounded by 12 sheaves and the sun and the moon. And the sun and the moon and the 12 sheaves all bowed down to him. Amud Beis. So I must remember again, in his dream, the 12 sheaves were his brothers. The sun and the moon were who? Were his mother and his father. But already by that point in time, Vahi Shaita Ime Lo Havas. His mother already passed away. So you see from here again, Yosef's dream was correct, in that ultimately again, the brothers and his father would bow down to him. But his mother would never bow down to him because his mother had passed away. So you see from here that even if you hold the dreams are meaningful, every dream has chaff. Right, every dream has parts of it that is not meaningful. Amar Rabbi Levi, the Olam Yitzav Adam L'Chalom Dovah Chav Beishana was incredible. Levi says, if you have a good dream, the window of fruition or the window of actualization for that dream is 22 years. Person should wait 22 years for his dreams to come true. Do you hear what this is saying? Sometimes in life we have dreams and aspirations. And we think that when we have dreams and aspirations, they should come true immediately if they're good ones. The Gemara says that what? Sometimes it takes decades for dreams to come true. But just because your dreams don't come true immediately, don't give up on them. Because sometimes even the greatest of dreams, the most incredible of dreams, take years and years and years to come to fruition. Yosef's dreams took 22 years. Where do we know this from? Minalan di Yosef, mi Yosef. Well, it's such an incredible Gemara, no? So incredible. We think sometimes that if something is supposed to happen, it's supposed to happen now. And if it doesn't happen now, then it's never going to happen. It's not true. Sometimes great things in life, great dreams, meaningful dreams, incredible dreams, take decades to come to fruition. From Yosef, Dichsev, Ela told us Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvas Reishan. Remember again, when Yosef was sold by his brothers, he was 17 years old. Uksiv b'Yosef ben Shloshim Shana ba'amdu lifnei Paro. Remember again, Yosef was 30 years old when he's appointed viceroy. Min shiv siri atlas in kamal. He said, "I'll say how many years between 17 and 30 plus 3." So v'shev d'sheva v'tarta d'kanfa hachaf beis. Rabbi say if you add in there, so you have the number of years that Yosef between the time he was sold appointed viceroy, then 7 years of famine. Then apparently Yaakov doesn't actually come down to Egypt until the second year of plenty. You add that all together, and what do you get? Hachaf beis. You get 22 years. Rabbi say, so you see that it's 22 years until Yosef's dream was totally fulfilled. So you see from here that in life sometimes it takes a very long time for your dreams to come true, but the goal in life is don't give up on them. Amar Rav Huna. The Adam Tov. Shabbos say here, Rashi actually changes this girsa. Rashi's girsa is La Adam Tov Marin Lo Chalom Ra. Good people, right? Good people have bad dreams. The Adam Ra Marin Lo Chalom Tov. Bad people have good dreams. Rashi points out why is this li adam tov marin lo chalom ra kedei sheyidak v'lo yechta v'sheyichaper lo etzbono. So we'll say the idea is that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a good person bad dreams so that it should be a wake up call for him to lead a more meaningful life and abstain from sin. Conversely, for the person who is evil, he has good dreams because you know what, he's not gonna have much of an afterlife, so he might as well enjoy olam hazeh. Pretty profound Gemara. So Tanya Mihachi, just to be clear, just so you see, don't get nervous, like if you go and plant, you have a good dream. We should all have good dreams. Understand that for each of these statements, there are multiple streams of machlokas. Because when it comes to dreams, you're going to see there's an opinion who says anything and everything. Again, like I said, the spectrum is dreams are meaningless. To the other end of dreams, every single dream is meaningful. So again, just understand that all of these opinions fall somewhere on the spectrum. Tanya Me'achir, well, so a Braisa that supports this is incredible. Koshnosav Shal David Lo Ra'a Chalam Tov. David HaMelech never had a good dream. Incredible, right? All of the years of his life, David HaMelech never had a good dream. So again, the Gemara's understanding this over here, Rav Huna's understanding this to mean, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was constantly trying to encourage David to do more, to grow more, to be more. The bad dreams kept him on the straight and narrow, allowed him to be a Baal Tshuva, allowed him to go ahead and live his life to the fullest. Masha, I guess apparently a person has good dreams, a person can feel a bit more settled in life. There's a certain lack of push and drive when you're already having good dreams. So David HaMelech never had a good dream. Conversely, Achitofel never had a bad dream. Also remember, Achitofel was David HaMelech's primary advisor until the rebellion of Avshalom, where he literally betrayed David and went to Avshalom. Aye, but the pasuk says by the tzaddik that ultimately, again, you will not be impacted by ra, right? You will not be visited by any kind of negativity, which sounds like the tzaddik doesn't even have bad dreams. So ultimately, again, I'm saying Rav Chisda said, what's the meaning of that pasuk? The meaning of that pasuk is, if you're a tzaddik, if you're righteous, you won't even be bothered by bad dreams or by bad thoughts. So we see again that the tzaddik doesn't have bad dreams. Venega lo yikrav ba'ahalecha, and there will be no affliction in your tent. What does that refer to? Shelo tinsa ishtecha safek nida b'shar shata ba min aderech. That ultimately, again, a man, when he comes home from a trip and looks forward to being with his wife, will not find his wife in a state of safek nida. Questionable need is that. So we'll say it's very interesting. So the Gemara understands that coming home after a long trip and finding your wife as a suffix nida is much worse than finding her as a vada nida. If she's a nida, she's a nida. So relations are prohibited. What can you do? That's the halacha. Suffix nida is worse, ultimately, again, because her state is questionable. So the Gemara says, but again, that's not our topic. Our topic is the first part. So you see from here that the tzaddik doesn't have bad dreams. So what's going on? Ela ihi lo chazilei, achrini chazilei. Rather, it means the tzaddik himself doesn't have the bad dreams, but other people see the bad things happening to the tzaddik. Okay, so we'll say, so apparently, again, other people see that which is negative ultimately being foretold about the tzaddik. In other words, the answer the Gemara seems to be giving over here is that the tzaddik himself won't have the bad dream. Someone else will have a dream about the tzaddik, but the tzaddik himself won't have a dream. So you tell me that if the tzaddik doesn't have dreams, not having dreams is a good thing. I'm also listening to this Gemara. Whoever sleeps for 7 days and doesn't have a dream is called ra. Shneemar v'savea yolin ba'yif kadra. Al tikrei savea ela sheva. A little bit of a play on words. Sheva yolin. Ultimately, again, a person goes ahead and sleeps for 7 days and doesn't have a dream, it's called Ra. We'll say here this is saying, to go 7 days and not have a dream in life, right? To go 7 days with no aspirations, to go 7 days without a dream, to go 7 days without any thoughts of what I'm going to make of myself, what I'm going to be, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to accomplish, that's Nikra Ra. Ella Hachikamer, this is what it means to say, Dechaza v'lo yada maychaza. And what it means is, sometimes the tzaddik will have a dream, right, and he's going to see something in the dream, but he does not know what it is that he's going to go ahead that he's seeing. Rashi says over here, the chazi v'lo yada my chazi adam tov marin lo chalam tov va'ad shelo yakitz mishtachach umenu kidei shelo yismach. So we'll say, therefore, the Gemara kind of revises a little bit. The tzaddik has good dreams, but what? By the time he wakes up, he no longer remembers them. He no longer remembers them, so he has that hana'ah while he's sleeping of having a good dream. But I will say, so I guess the concern is that if the tzaddik has a good dream and he wakes up and he remembers the dream, he may kind of like rest on his laurels. You see, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me good dreams, I'm obviously doing the right thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the hana'ah, the benefit of having a good dream while he's sleeping, right? But at the end of the day, by the time he wakes up, he forgets about it. So because he forgets about it, the lack of remembrance of the good dream in of itself becomes the catalyst to maximize his life that day. Incredible. So a person has a dream and he's upset about his dream. Literally translated, he should go and have it interpreted in front of three people. Yiftereno, he should have the dream interpreted. Yet Rav Chisda said that what? An uninterpreted dream is like an unread letter. which is a good thing. Right? Just like if I don't read the letter, the contents don't impact me. So sometimes it's better to leave a dream uninterpreted. This way, again, the meaning of the dream cannot impact me either. To which the Gemara says, you're right. It doesn't mean, Ela ima yativena bifnei shoshar bo. So this is incredible. Rather, what a person should do is, yativena literally means, put a positive spin on the dream. Make the dream a good dream in front of three people. What does that mean? This is incredible. Leisei tlasa, get three people together. And a person should say to them, you know what? I had a very good dream. I also remember, what's the case over here? A person didn't have a good dream. He didn't have a good dream. He had a very bad dream. But he should get three people together and he should say, I had a very good dream. And they should say to him, Hanach tavao v'tava lehavi rachman l'shavye l'tav. So we'll say this, they should say to him, V'leim aluhu, chama tava chazai. V'leim rulei, the three people should then say to him, Hanach tavao, this should be good, v'tava lehavi, and it should always be good, v'rachman l'shavye l'tav. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu should make everything for good. Sheva zimnin ligzeru alecha min shamaya telehava tava v'yehei tava. Ultimately, and seven times they should decree upon you from the heavens that it should be good and all should be good. V'leimru gimel hafach. So we'll say, see what's happening over here? See what's happening? A person goes ahead and has a bad dream, comes before a group of three, says, I had a good dream. And what do they essentially say to him? So happy you had a good dream. All of your dreams should be good. Every dream should be good. It should always be good. Everything is good. They should say three psukim, hafuchos. They represent something being changed from one state to another. Three psukim that speak about redemption and salvation, and three psukim that speak about shalom. Shalosh hafuchos, what does it mean? Three psukim that speak about a hifuch, a change. Hafachta mispedi l'macholi, pitachta sa'ki v'atazreni simcha. What's it mean again? From Kapitel Lamed. Literally again, you have changed my mourning, l'machol, to go ahead to rejoicing. Pitachta sa'ki, you've taken off my sackcloth. And girded me in happiness. So the idea being this pasuk represents a change. As tismach besula b'machol u'bechurim zkenim yachdov v'afachti evlam l'sason. I will change their avelos to simcha. Lo ava Hashem l'shmo el Bilam v'yafoch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen to Bilam. He changed Bilam's curse ultimately again into a bracha. So those are three psukim of changing things. Changing things from a negative state to a positive state. Shalosh peduyos. Three psukim of redemption. Shneimar pedei nafshi, pedei b'shalom nafshi mikarav li. Upeduya Hashem yishuvon. Vayomer amal shal hayonos anyamos ashaase Yeshua. Good. Shalosh shlomos. Three psukim of shalom. Dichsev bori nifs vasayim. Shalom shalom rachol kulakarav. Amar Hashem v'raposev. V'rach lavshes amasai. V'amartem ko lachi va'ata shalom ubeisach shalom. So let's say so again. The idea being, you say three psukim. So we'll say, what's happening over here? So what's happening over here is something. Well, actually, it's finished up. Amemar mazutra ravashi. I'm sorry. So we'll say, so watch this. So therefore, a person has a bad dream. What do? Get the three people together. Tell them about a good dream. They say it should be a good dream. Many good dreams. Three psukim of change. Three psukim of redemption. Three psukim of shalom. We'll say, what's the idea? This goes with the approach that I'll call holich acharat pitaron. That the power of dreams are in their interpretation. How a dream is interpreted ultimately, again, really represents the meaning of the dream. And we'll say, as we're going to see, this is part of a much more profound psychological principle, which is many times in life, our lives are reflections of self-fulfilling dreams. People who walk through life thinking that everything is terrible, guess what happens? Everything is terrible. If people are terrible, then every interaction is terrible. If life is just one misfortune after another, then life is going to be one misfortune after the other. But if a person chooses a positive disposition and a positive outlook and an optimistic outlook, and a person chooses to live their life girded with hope and with excitement and with an incredible outlook, a realm of possibilities in life, something amazing happens. Life has the capacity to become positive, meaningful, hopeful, and optimistic as well. So the Gemara says, you had a bad dream, you know what you do? You go ahead and you say, this was a great dream. And unless it's not enough to reinforce it yourself, but what? Surround yourself. Paul says, so much of life is surrounding yourself with people who have a positive outlook in life. So what do? You get yourself three chaverim. You get yourself three chaverim, and you tell them, chaverim, I had a bad dream. You know what they're going to say? I'm sorry, it's wrong. All right, chaverim, I had a good dream. And they're going to say to you, what? Oh, great. Every dream should be great, because life is great. Life is hopeful. Life is filled with change. Life is filled with shalom. Life is filled with all. So think positive. Surround yourself with positive people, and then positive things happen. Incredible. The Gemara goes right there. Amir Marzutra Ravashi Aviyasi Bahadi Adali. Amir Marzutra and Ravashi, we're all sitting together. Amri Kochad Vichaminan Lema Milsa Delo Shami Lechave. So I say, let's all exchange something that no one else heard. In other words, let's all exchange with each other novel ideas. One of them started by saying, Haiman de Chazi Chama. Let's listen to this. Person who had a dream. Velo Yada Mai Chaza. But he doesn't know the meaning of the dream. Leikum kame kahani be'idna de parsi adayu. What should he do? At the time of duchening, when the Kohanim are duchening, so we'll say, I had a dream, I don't know what the dream means. So at the time when the Kohanim are duchening, what should I do? I should say a tefillah. What's a tefillah? Ribono shalom, ani shalach v'chalom asah shalach. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I am yours and my dreams are yours. Chalom chalamti ve'eni yodea mahu. I dreamt a dream and I don't know what the meaning of it is. Whether it's a dream that I dreamt about myself or a dream that my friend dreamt about me. So I will say, or I dreamt about someone else. If the dreams are good, then if the dreams are good, then strengthen them and solidify them like the dreams of Yosef. If I dreamt about someone who needs a refuah, if I need a refuah, send a refuah. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu turned the bitter waters of Mara sweet, and he healed Miriam. And the Chizkio was killed from his illness. Just like Elisha cured the waters of Yericho, they were bitter, he made them sweet. In the same way that you changed the curse of Bilam to a bracha, ultimately, again, change all of my dreams to the good as well. And try to end this supplication as the Kohanim say their last bracha as well. So as the Tzibur says Amen to the Birchas Kohanim, the Tzibur will be saying Amen to my dream supplication as well. V'ilo, but if for some reason I don't end at the same time as the Kohanim, Lei Mahachi, this is what you should say, Adir Bamorom Shochin Gevura, he who dwells on high, right? Literally rests, dwells in strength, Ata Shalom, V'shimcha Shalom, you are peace, your name is peace, Yiratzal Mofanecha Shatasim Alinu Shalom. Ultimately, again, may it be your will that you place upon us Shalom. So we'll say, from here is the source for this Ribono Shel Olam that we say during Duchening. Also, just point out, the Mishnah Berurah actually brings down that the custom is that everyone should say this Ribono Shel Olam, even if I haven't had a dream. It's actually very interesting, because it could be I had dreams that I forgot about, but this is dafka we say. Why we say it during Duchening, we'll see. Idach, so Pasach Yidvar, the other ones came along and said, Haiman Dari Lamasa, it's incredible. V'dachal Me'in Ebisha. We'll say if a person comes into a city, and he's nervous about Ayin Hara. So we'll say, remember again, a word about Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara on a very simple level is as follows. If I have a bracha, but my bracha becomes a source of pain for you, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take away that bracha, because God gives us our brachos ultimately to accomplish things, but not to cause other people pain. This is very important. This is why, again, a person has to be so careful with the way they present their brachos in the public sphere. Because if I have something, and let's say Reuven, right, someone else doesn't have that, and the fact that I have it, or maybe even flaunt it, is going to cause pain to someone else, that could cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take that bracha away from me. So a person walks into a city and is concerned about Ayin Hara. What should he do? This is incredible. Linko Zakva Diyada Diyamina Biyada Dismale. Vizakva Diyada Dismale Biyamada Diyamina. He should take his left hand, his left thumb, and put it into his right hand. And his right hand, his right thumb, and put it into his left hand. And he should say as follows, Velei Mahachi, Ana Ploni Bar Ploni, Mizar Di Yosef Kasina. I so-and-so am from the offspring of Yosef. The Lo Shalta Be'in Abisha, because the Ayin Hara has no control over Yosef. Shene Emar Ben Poras Yosef, Ben Poras Alei Ayin. Altikri Alei Ayin, Ela Olei Ayin. He rises above the Ayin Hara. Zerab Yosef Yechimina Rehacha, V'yidkul Arav Bekeref Ha'aretz, Ma'dogim Shebayam, Ma'im Chusin Alein. Ve'ein Ayin Hara Sholat Esbayim. Just like the fish in the sea, the water covers them and Ayin Hara has no effect on them. Av Zaro Shal Yosef, Ein Ayin Ra Sholat Esbayim. So too, again, the offspring of Yosef, Einar has no problem. We'll say, what does this mean? You could try this. You put your right hand in your left hand. You put your right thumb in your right thumb in your left hand, left thumb in your right hand, and you're like this. So we'll say, what does that mean? So on a very poshut level, when you do that, you're tethering your hands. Your hands represent the source of dynamic activity. That's what hands are. Sometimes when a person has to realize that his brachos in life come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't come from me. I have to put in my effort, but a lot of people put in effort, and yet that effort is not blessed with results. My bracha in life comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the notion of putting your left thumb in your right hand in your right thumb in your left hand. You're tethering your hands. I recognize everything I have is not from me. It's not these hands that created anything. These hands put in effort, but whatever I have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you recognize that your brachos come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are careful about how you present them in the public sphere. You are careful about how you utilize them. You are careful that your brachos never chas v'shalom become a source of pain for everyone else. When does a person become subject to Ayin Hara? When they think that they generated their brachos and you flaunt it because you think you created it, that's when it's problematic. But if you want to avoid Ayin Hara, put your right hand in your left right thumb in your left hand, right left thumb in your right hand, tether your hands, recognize everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you will conduct yourself in a humble way with all of your brachos. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emir at Hashem right here tomorrow.
It'll get shorter.
A few days from now, it's all right.
Did you plan to come back exactly on this?